The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Brother Sam's sermon yesterday kind of stirred my mind on the Word of God from 1 Peter chapter 2. He introduced about the babes in Christ that need to grow with the sincere milk of the Word. But one thing that really stood out to me is how those babes really desire that milk. They desire the Word. And I want to spend some time in Psalms 119. This is the longest chapter in the Bible, but it's really just a one long exaltation of the Word of God. And this is an interesting psalm in the sense that this is what's called an acrostic. You may know what an acrostic is, that you start, whether it be lines or whether it be an acronym, that you start with different letters. And particularly, sometimes we don't think about the book of the Psalms actually being the songs of the early New Testament church. I mean, these are the actual hymns where we have the Old School Hymnal, the Primitive Baptist Hymnal. This was the hymn book of the early church. And this particular hymn was composed in a manner that every section is 8 verses, starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, so we have 22 letters in the Hebrew language. You have 8 verses per letter, so we end up with 176 verses. But the whole psalm is about the Word of God. There's no more full explanation of the Word of God than in Psalms 119. And I'm going to be in a lot of different places and hitting a lot of verses in here. So you might just want to pay attention. It might be strenuous for you to flip to all these. You might just want to listen. But nevertheless, I'm going to be mostly in Psalm 119. But what I really want to emphasize is the Word of God is the most important thing for the child of God until we get to heaven. Okay? Because everything that we do here in the church is based on the Word of God. I mean, our worship, our doctrine, everything. And we have to have this, it comes out so richly in this psalm about the hunger and the desire and the love and the delight that this writer has for the Word of God. And you see, the Word of God gives us everything that we need to know to live acceptably here serving the Lord while we're here in this world. And you cannot separate the way that we view the Word of God with the way that we view God. See, we're commanded to love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. But you see, this Scripture is the testimony of God. So we cannot love God in the fervent manner that we're called to in Scripture if we do not fervently love His Word. And we do not crave, you know, if we crave communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ, one of the main ways you can pray to Him at any time, because we have the priesthood of the believer, we have direct access into the throne room of God and the holiest of holies. But one of the greatest benefits that we have, that the Lord instilled, that He gave us here in the church, is the Word of God that we can read at any time. And another point, too, is there are very few children of God that have ever even been able to read the full canonized Word of God. And there is nobody that has ever had more access to the Word of God than we've had. None. And the hunger that this psalmist had for the Word of God is so closely aligned with the hunger that that newborn babe had for that milk. I mean, there is nothing that would satisfy the hunger of that newborn babe except for that milk. And you see, that's the type of hunger that we need to have for the Word of God. Now, we have to equate, the Word of God with God Himself, because it is the testimony of Christ. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." Okay? In Psalms 119 and 142, it says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness," but note this, "thy law is the truth." Okay? There is absolute truth in the world. And the absolute truth of God is revealed through His Word. "Thy law is truth." And notice what Jesus said in His high priestly prayer to God in John 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Okay? Now John 14 and verse 6, what does that tell us? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. See, the Word of God is truth. Jesus is the truth. You cannot separate those. What is the Bible is described as the Word of God. In John 1 and 1, what does it say? The Word was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. You see, you can't separate them. The Word is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the truth, this is God's revelation of His truth. So, if we're going to fervently love the Lord and passionately pursue Him, we have to be students of His Word. And we have to love His Word. First thing I want to notice from Psalms 119 is the authority of God's Word. As we already read in verse 142 of Psalms 119, "Thy law is the truth." Now, there's no inclination in Scripture that it is a truth, as in this is one truth in a larger spectrum that there are multiple truths. No, there is one truth. It is the truth. And you see, that's why it's so important that we understand that the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. You see, that's what's in our second article of faith. We believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, of the King James, translation, as it says in our articles of faith, are the inspired Word of God. That means God breathed from 2 Timothy 3:16. But they are our only rule of faith and practice. And why is that the case? Because they are the truth. I mean, there is absolute truth here in this world, and that truth is revealed to God's children through His Word. You see, this is the truth. And verse 151 of Psalms 119, "All thy commandments are truth." Verse 39, "Thy judgments are good." Verse 86, "All thy commandments are faithful." I mean, there is such purity in the Word of God. And you see, this is our standard. This is our standard for truth in the world, but particularly in the church. And I think it's important because we have to really internalize what we believe here in the church. And what I mean by that is the articles of faith that says over here on the wall, it says that we believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the divinely inspired Word of God and the only rule of faith and practice. But you see, those do not apply, even though they're on the wall here, they don't apply to this building. You see, the church is the people. And you see, the articles of faith, that is your articles of faith. If you're a member of this assembly, that means that is your articles of faith. And you need to, this was a very helpful exercise for me a few years ago, to put all of those third person pronouns into first person pronouns. Because you see, if the church is going to uphold the articles of faith, It's not the building that upholds the articles of faith. It's me and it's you on a daily basis. So if the church is going to adhere that the scriptures are only rule of faith and practice, it's very helpful to think, I believe, to internalize it and say that I believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the inspired word of God and my only rule of faith and practice. You see, when I have a question of things, of how, of what a correct answer to a question is, how should I apply a certain situation, you know, whatever the case is, you need to internalize that and say, where do I turn? Now, I can instruct you as a pastor of where you need to go, but your first inclination should not be to ask me. It should be to turn to the Word of God. Because why? Because you believe that the Scriptures are your only rule of faith and practice. Think about this verse here in Psalms 119, verse 128. It says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. What that means is, when I have a conflict in my life and I see the world going in a certain direction, I see people that I interact with believing a certain thing, but I read the Word of God and I see something that's different than that. That means that my internal conviction is that I esteem the Word of God to be right in every single way. And you know what? You have to look in the mirror and say the same thing. If I have wandered away from the teachings of this word, I have to look steadfastly in the mirror and say, I'm wrong. Because the word of God, if I'm in contradiction to the word of God, I have to look at it and say that I'm wrong. Why? I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Why? Because the scriptures are my only rule of faith and practice in my life. So, The Bible is the ultimate authority in the universe, but we have to make sure that we internalize that and we accept the Bible's authority in our life. That I personally accept that if there's something that's taught out in the world that does not line up with this world, line up with this word, then the world is wrong. And God is right. You know? If the scriptures say that the name reverend is ascribed to God alone, then that means that the world is wrong by using that term. When the scriptures explicitly state that you do not call any man your father here in this world, that means that I say that everyone that does that is wrong by the scriptures. And when I see anything happening in this world that is contrary to this, I stand on the rock, the foundation of the Word of God, instead of whatever's going on in culture around me. And even people that maybe I esteem highly can be wrong too. You see? Don't take my word for anything. Okay? I'll do my best to preach the word to the best of my ability, but I'm infallible. I mean, I'm fallible. Scratch that. See, there you go. See, that tells you how fallible I am. You know, but the point is, I can make mistakes. Okay? And don't take my word for it. Be as the noble Bereans and search the scriptures daily to see if those things are so. Take notes on what I present and go vet me. Go vet me. Because you're going to be edified from that. And you're going to be strengthened than just sitting and listening, but if you're vetting the things that are presented to you on a weekly basis, you're going to be growing in the Word, aren't you? You're going to be growing past just that sincere milk, but you're going to be progressing to that strong meat. You see, don't take what I say as the absolute truth, because I am a sinner just like you, okay? And my interpretation of the Word in certain circumstances could be wrong. Go vet it for yourself and fall in love with the Word of God yourself. This is really what, I mean, the more that you love God, the more that you love His Word. I mean, just this hunger that we have presented in this psalm for the Word of God. Let's look at verse 127 of Psalms 119. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Does that sound like an hyperbole? Sometimes I read scripture and I was like, yeah, all right, you know, calm down. You know, let's not say anything rash. You know, sure you do. No, I want to let that sink in. You know, the psalmist is saying, I love your word more than the finest gold here in this world. Verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Think about this. Do you feel this way about the Word of God? Lord, help me. I wish I could say amen to that. You know, I let other things distract me from the Word of God. I'm so thankful for the understanding that I do have and the hunger that I do have, but I can't with a right mind and a pure heart make these proclamations. It is good for me that I have been afflicted to learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I mean, do you rejoice in the word of God as much as you do all the riches, all the possessions that you have in this world? Is this the most treasured thing? Is this book the most treasured thing that you have in your life? It was for the psalmist. He says, this is the most valuable possession that I have in my life. It's better than all these things. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You know, do you get happy sometimes when you find, you know, I'm a simple person. You know, if I lose $10 and I don't know where it's at and I'm cleaning up under my the chair in my truck, you know, and I find that $10, you know, I get happy about small stuff. You know, I rejoice at small things like that, you know. But I want you to think about our natural rejoicing when you find that great spoil, you know? That natural rejoicing that you have when that great blessing appears in your life. You know, do you rejoice with the Word of God in that manner? Verse 131. I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Think about what it says in Psalms 42 and verse 1. As thirst the heart for water brooks. Think about a heart's a deer. Think about a deer that is longing for that water. And he finally finds that brook. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirst my soul, O God, for thee. You know, just as that newborn babe, the only thing that is going to fulfill that hunger is the milk, when you have this type of a hunger and a longing for the Word of God, there's only one thing that's going to fill it. You know, this panting, this just thirsting for the Word of God. Verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. When's the last time that you just sit down and actually praise the Lord that he inspired this book for us? You know, I say this all the time. If he never penned this book, it would have absolutely no bearing on our eternal security. But God didn't just save us. He was gracious enough to tell us about it and then to preserve it to where I actually can have a hope of a better promise and a better day. You see? People don't have hope if they don't know that there's something better out there. And there's a whole lot of children of God that toiled through this entire world that are in heaven right now that did not have the hope that we have here in the New Testament church because the scriptures were preserved for us to partake of. And we should praise the Lord for that. We should thank Him that He has given us this word to provide us a hope of something better, but also to give us the tool belt to live here in this world. I praise the Lord for that. Verse 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. He's getting up in the middle of the night praising the Lord that He has preserved His righteousness. Verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Now, also think about how we treat the Word of God. You know, this should be a book that we treat with the utmost reverence and respect and authority. Why? Because the way we treat this book, if we treat this book frivolously, that's how we treat Jesus Christ. Because this is Jesus Christ. This is His testimony to us. And if we reverence Jesus Christ, we need to reverence His book in the same way. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Do you feel that way about the Word of God? Do you just stand in awe of a book that is perfectly inspired and perfectly preserved, that it was written by over 40 different authors over probably about a 2,000 or 1,500 year period, and there are absolute, not only are there not contradictions, but there are so many infinite prophecies that are fulfilled, that are given in the Old Testament, that are fulfilled in the New Testament. I mean, I stand in awe of the Word of God, of how and part of the reason I stand in awe of the Word of God is because it gives me a little bit of an insight into really how great God is, and how infinite He is, and how omniscient He is, and how powerful He is. I stand in awe in just reverence that He's given us this book, and also just the intricacies of it and the faithfulness of it. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. Verse 117 says, I will have respect unto thy statutes continuously, and also a reverence toward His word. Verse 120, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgments. Not a terror in the sense of being fearful and afraid, but a reverence of your word. A reverence of the word of God. And see, the word of God should also give us great joy in our life. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I mean, does the Word of God give you as much joy as when you receive riches? That's the type of fervency, the type of joy, the type of love that we see. Verse 162, we've already read some of these. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Verse 111, thy testimonies, your word, are the rejoicing of my heart. Now, that should give us a great manner of love and fervency toward the word. Verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Having a true, sincere love for the Word of God. And what is that? What is that? What is that? What does that cause? What does that love for the Word of God cause? You know, you have a hunger to have that love fulfilled. You see, you read the Word of God continually, praise the Lord for Him. But one of the most important parts is not just reading the Word, but meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on it. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, what's your greatest delight in the world? I know what my answer is not, you know. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now we're going to look at some specific effects or benefits, if you will, of the Word of God from Psalms 119. But I want you to look at the effects or the end result or the outcome of this gentleman. Now, he's forsaking. Also, the Word of God tells us some things that we need to put off here in this world, some things that we need to forsake. And the Word of God tells you that you don't need to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you don't need to stand in the way of sinners, and you don't need to sit in the seat of the scornful. The Bible tells you that. But this man delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now look at the effect of this person, the outcome of this person who is fully consumed with the Word of God, and he's meditating on the Word of God. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now the other side of that, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You have one that is a strong oak, if you will. I mean a strong, steadfast tree that is planted by this rivers of the water that's not going to be moved. But instead, the opposite of that is the person that's not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, if you will, is they're like the chaff that is so small and easily blown. It's no surprise in the New Testament it says that you be blown by every wind of doctrine. If you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you're going to be swayed. You're going to be blown by every wind of doctrine. But not if you meditate in the Word of God day and night. Those roots are going to be strengthened. And you're going to be strong in the day of when false teaching comes. You're going to be strong in that time, but also, we'll see later, you're also going to be strong when the trials and the tribulations of this world come too. You're going to be strong and you're going to be steadfast and you're not going to wither in the midst of that. Why? Because you've got that strong root system. You need to meditate on the Word of God. You know, I had some really good advice from a good minister friend of mine. And he said that, you know, you need to study for your sermon. But meditation, about just letting it sink in, and just going over it and reanalyzing it in your mind, that's almost like the marinade for a steak. I mean, a steak can be good anyway. But I tell you, when you give it time, when you don't rush the process, you know, when you give it time and you let it soak in with that marinade and you just let it soak into that meat, let me tell you, the flavor of a marinated steak is so much more rich and fulfilling. Now, that can still be good. I mean, a steak can still be good if it's not marinated. But meditation is like the marinade for the Word of God. I mean, it becomes so much more rich and fulfilling when you just let it sink in and you meditate on it and you think about it continually. You know, you read the Word of God in the morning, but then throughout your day, you're constantly meditating on the Word that you've read. Meditation is thoroughly important, and we also need to be skillful enough in the Word that we need to memorize Scripture to the best of our ability, but the best the best way to do it is not just to memorize it, it's to truly learn it. Psalms 119 and in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You see, he committed the word of God to his heart. Now it's important to note, though, that in the new birth, the Lord does write his laws in our hearts. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be in the forefront of our mind. You know, they're in there. God's moral law is in there. But there is a certain sense in which we have to have knowledge to live skillfully here in this world, if you will. And it's up to us to make sure that those laws that are written in our mind are kept at the forefront, are written in our heart, are kept at the forefront of our mind. Now, it's so important to understand the times when you will be the most afflicted and the most tempted and tried is not going to be here in a public worship service. It's not going to be when you have a Bible open in front of you to where you can turn to the Word of God. When did Satan come and tempt the Son of God with food? It was when he hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. It's when he was at a point of extreme hunger. When he's isolated. When he's by himself. And when he, of course, he's Jesus, so I mean, he is the Word, literally. But the times of the most severe temptation will not come when we have our Bible open in front of us. It's going to be when we're off by ourselves, out in the world. And Satan is going to hit us and hit us and hit us and hit us. And if I don't have that Word of God hidden away in my heart, I can't turn to it the way Jesus Christ did. You see, Jesus Christ gave us the mechanism for resisting the devil to where he'll flee from you. It's to combat him with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Every three temptations that he tried to tempt Jesus Christ with, he combated him with a quotation from the Old Testament. And our greatest temptations will not come when we have a Bible in front of us. And we have to be skillful enough in the Word. We have to have this Word hid in our heart to where we can wield out that sword at any moment and cut Satan down with it. We have to be. Because Satan's crafty. He's subtle. He's not going to come at you when you've got your whole army with you. He's going to wait till that little bitty sheep starts straying from the fold. And you're by yourself. And if you do not personally commit the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, into your heart and into your mind, you won't be able to combat Satan in the way that you need to. It is absolutely crucial. That's why that is the only offensive weapon in Ephesians chapter 6 of the armor of God. That's the only... We can protect ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith, but we can attack Satan with the Word of God. But very rarely are you going to be able to, just in those moments of severe temptation, be able to open up the Bible and to read the Bible. So it's crucial that we commit the Word of God into our heart. Now, this psalm teaches us very many benefits and effects of the Word of God. And there's so many... I would encourage all of you... I know it's 176 verses. But my homework assignment for you this week is to read Psalms 119 all the way through. Because I'm presenting this in more of a categorical manner. But I would encourage you to read it all the way through. And it won't take as long as you think. It really won't. But there is so much richness in this word, in this psalm, that's talking about the love of the Word and delighting in the Word and hoping in the Word and salvation in the Word and comfort in the Word. There's too much in here for me to even... I'm painting with a very broad brush today. And I want you to go and read all of it to where you can get the full benefit. But a few points. Verse 81 says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Now, keep that in mind as we read verse 92. "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies." Verse 92 says, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in the midst of my affliction." When the storms of life, the tribulation that Jesus promised in John 16 and 33, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." When that tribulation and that affliction comes, we have to be rooted and grounded in the Word. And what does he say here? "It's because of thy Word, because of thy law, that I did not perish, that I did not fall away in the midst of my affliction." Verse 75 says, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, but thou in faithfulness have afflicted me." Verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." That's an interesting perspective that he presents there. He says, "It is beneficial for me that I go through these trials to realize the necessity and the sufficiency of the Word of God. It's good for me that I've been afflicted because now I rely on your Word." And now, coming back full circle to verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy Word." You see, the Word of God teaches us that God will never leave us and He will never forsake us. His faithfulness is new every morning. But you see, God may not take away the affliction right away. What does He say? "My soul fainteth for salvation." Salvation is deliverance. I'm praying for deliverance in the midst of my affliction. "My soul fainteth for thy salvation," because the deliverance has not yet come. Do you see that? The deliverance has not come from the affliction yet. "But I hope in thy word." You see, the Bible teaches me that God will never leave His children. The Bible teaches me how God will always stand up and fight for His children. He will give them strength in the midst of affliction. And the Word of God is what gives me the strength to endure in the midst of the affliction, even though God has not yet given me the deliverance. It is so important that we ground ourselves in the Word of God, because afflictions are going to come in this world. But we can have hope in the midst of it. We can rejoice in the midst of it. We can still praise God in the midst of it, because we have a hope of something better. The hope that God will bless us, that He will relieve that suffering. And it's the Word of God that gives us that hope. But what good does that do if we're not rooted and grounded in the Word and we don't know the faithfulness of God that is given to us, that is revealed to us here in this Word? Verse 49 and 50, "Thy word is my comfort in my affliction." You see, the gospel. Isaiah 40 and verse 1, comfort ye my people. The Bible tells us about the good news of the gospel. The Bible provides comfort. This one's beautiful to me. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. I tell you, there's nothing that I really desire more in this world than just peace. Peace in my own soul. In the world that just seems to be warring against the people of God, and the warfare that I have to encounter daily in my own spirit, that my flesh is warring against the spirit, in the midst of warfare, there's nothing that I desire more than peace. And where is the promise of not just peace, but great peace? Where's the promise? Great peace have they which love thy law. I tell you, there's peace in the Word. There's comfort in the Word. There's salvation. From the verse we saw earlier, there's quickening. Quickening means to make alive. To make alive when someone is dead. Now, this is not a quickening of dead in trespasses and sin to life in Christ, but the children of God can become sleepy and stagnant to where you can't tell any of the difference. You really can't tell the difference outside of checking their vital signs of someone that's asleep and someone that's dead. They're lying there motionless. And what is the admonitions in the New Testament that Paul gave? Awake thou that sleepest. You see? It's the Word of God that stirs you up to give you that life, to renew you to that life. And the Word really is a great filter to show us how we need to correct our manner of life. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are you going to know what to do to change your method of life, to cleanse your way? Obviously, there's a need of cleansing. If a young man needs to cleanse his way, there's a reason that needs to be cleansed. It's become corrupt. His way has become corrupt and needs to be cleansed. So how is he cleansed? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I meditated on your word, and I realized that my feet are going in the wrong direction. I meditated on your word, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. You see? It's the word of God that purges the walk of the child of God. Now, the Bible is an amazing book. And just as Brother Sam articulated yesterday, if you had 100 lifetimes, there's no way that you could fully grasp everything that's in here. But a prayer that I have tried to implement, and I really feel like that the Lord has blessed me in my understanding of Scripture over the last 2 to 3 years, and it's a verse here in Psalms 119 that I've really hung to, and I feel like the Lord has answered this prayer in Psalms 119 and verse 18. If we pray with a fervent heart, just like the psalmist did, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, allow me to see the treasures that are in your word. Allow me to see that this book is more valuable than all the riches and the great spoil that I can have in my life. And when the Lord imparts that type of a hunger for you, you're going to love it. You're going to delight in it. You're going to pant after it just like that deer is panting. I mean, maybe a better example is after you've been outside working like a dog, and you are exhausted, and you come in, and let me tell you, you are panting after some water, you know. Is there anything more refreshing than that just cold, glass of water when you are panting and exhausted and thirsty and just totally beaten up with all the work that you've had to do out there? Let me tell you, this world beats you up. And you come to the refrigerator, I need some refreshment. I am panting after something that's going to fulfill this thirst that I have. And it's the Word of God that provides that. You know, what did Jesus tell that lady at the well in John chapter 4? He says, I'm giving you water that if you partake of my water, you're not going to need this water anymore. And of course, that lady, she's thinking on a natural plane. But he's saying, out of me is going to flow fountains of living water. Do you see how all of this, that Jesus is the Word and this is the Word of God? That Jesus is the truth and this is the truth of God? And Jesus is the living Word and this is the living water. Jesus is the living water and this is that water that will quench that thirst. Blessed is the man that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness. Jesus is what? He's the bread of life. So he's going to fulfill the hunger. And he's also the fountain of living waters. And he's going to fulfill the thirst too. But I tell you, the benefits, the hope that we have because of this word, the comfort in the midst of affliction, the hope of salvation, but the great peace that we have when we love the law of God. Let me tell you, there are so many rich treasures here in this word that are just, well, it's really just like anything in the kingdom, really. Like anything in the church, there's so many blessings that are out there for the children of God if you're just willing to press into Canaan and press into the kingdom. If you're willing to do a little bit of work and to press into the kingdom, there's going to be some blessings there. And I tell you, there's no greater blessing than digging into the Word of God. Because your hope will be strengthened. And if you delight in the law of the Lord and you meditate on it day and night, you're going to be like that tree that's planted by the river of the water. You're going to be strong in the midst of affliction. Even when God doesn't send that deliverance right away, you're going to be strong. Why? Because you have a hope. You have a hope that God will never leave me and He will never forsake me. And it's the Word of God that cements that hope that we have.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.